AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, here on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Well, as you've probably heard, with the COVID-19 pandemic, nursing homes around the country have been impacted especially hard. But to what degree have they been negatively impacted by COVID-19, and could they have taken measures to prevent many of the infections and unfortunate deaths that they've experienced? Well, someone at the Center for Investigative Reporting, Elizabeth Shrogren, did some reporting on this topic as she joins us now on the show, as her recent piece at revealnews.org and also in the Reveal podcast is titled, "Poor Infection Controls Turned Deadlier at Nursing Homes During the Pandemic," as Elizabeth joins us now. Hey, Elizabeth, how are you doing today?
So happy to be here.
Absolutely. So before we dive into details about what you reported on, I think it's first off important to point out that, well, even before the pandemic, a lot of nursing homes around the country still had some pretty major problems in terms of controlling infections, correct?
Yes. So the Government Accountability Office researched this very question, and they came out with their report in May. What they found is that in the years before the epidemic, about 80% of nursing homes had violations, various infractions as far as controlling infections are concerned. And many of these infractions, these kind of ways that the nursing homes were lagging behind what they needed to do to protect their residents from infections, are the same kind of things that can help COVID, that can prevent COVID from spreading inside that kind of really compact area, like where lots of people live, like a nursing home. So 80%. And more than half of the nursing homes, or about half, had these kinds of lagging infection control practices for many years in a row. They were given citations for that. So that's concerning, because that's exactly the state of nursing homes when COVID hits our country.
So unfortunately, we pretty much should have seen that this was probably going to be an issue when COVID really hit, being that we had all of these issues that were taking place even before the COVID-19 pandemic. And can you expand on what sorts of failures in terms of controls that nursing homes weren't able to do?
Yeah, so they're required to have infection control programs, and some of them didn't have them. When inspectors went to nursing homes, they would find that the basic infection control practices that are required weren't being followed, like wearing masks and like staff wearing masks and gloves when there's a patient with an infection, or staff failing to wash their hands properly, not enough personal protective equipment or not being used in the right ways, or failing to isolate sick patients. In fact, I reported, this wasn't in my story, but I reported one example of a nursing home in Florida where a son of a man in the nursing home had realized that the nurses were wearing masks in the room with his dad, and he didn't understand why. It hadn't really clicked. And then finally he asked about it, and someone told him, oh yeah, that's because your father's roommate has tuberculosis. Well, his father wasn't being masked. His father wasn't being protected. He wasn't being protected when he visited. So that's an example of someone not being isolated. That's what it means. You're not being isolated when you have an infectious disease. And in the case of the coronavirus coming into nursing homes, that that did happen, that either people who had been exposed to the coronavirus or who had gotten COVID weren't adequately adequately isolated from other people in the nursing homes.
Well, as you brought up, certainly residents of long-term care facilities and nursing homes have been impacted by the pandemic, but staff members have also been impacted by this as well. So I know you had a chance to speak to a couple of workers and some workers around the country, especially at that Florida facility you were telling us about. What kinds of lax security concerns were they kind of having around making sure they were protected themselves from making sure that they could stay safe?
One concerning thing that some of the staff members I spoke with talked about is that they had they felt like they weren't getting adequate information from the managers at their nursing homes. One one staff member said to me that in fact, she had been told that a resident was not COVID positive, and that influenced her decisions on infection control. And then she watched as the patient got symptoms and then went to the hospital. And it was only then that she realized that, in fact, this patient who she'd been told was negative was, in fact, positive. And so that was giving her what she said was a really bad feeling. And she knew that she was vulnerable and that then she could bring COVID to her family at home, or she could spread it to other people, other patients inadvertently. She was very concerned. And one of the reasons that she was so worried is that she wasn't getting enough clean personal protective equipment to wear when she went from one patient to another. So, for instance, she'd have one mask. She said she'd have to wait to get her new mask, and sometimes it would take 2 weeks, or she'd have to wear the same gown from one person's room to the next. And as you might imagine, in nursing homes, the staff have to care for these residents very, very closely. They can't stay 6 feet or even 6 inches from a patient because they're washing them and they're helping feed them and changing them, and they're very close up. So she was worried, you know, if I wear this same gown from one patient to the next, am I bringing COVID with me? And that's the kind of concerns that we heard about.
And you were talking about this, I believe, just a minute ago, how, well, sometimes some of the staff workers and residents wouldn't even know who else at the facility was infected with COVID. Are there any sorts of regulations in terms of when these facilities or when management is supposed to tell staff members and family and residents about COVID infections, or does that kind of vary from state to state? Talk about that aspect a little bit.
Well, one of the things that many people told me who are experts in nursing homes, and I'm not, I'm just a reporter looking at this issue. It's not my normal beat even. But one of the things that many of the academic experts and the organizations that represent nursing homes told me that one of the problems is that there hasn't been enough central control, that the government, the federal government, let the states make too many decisions. And as a result of that, there weren't high enough standards across the board from state to state. And so there was a lot of states making their own decisions. The Centers for Medicaid and Medicare, or Medicare and Medicaid Services, which is the government agency that looks over nursing homes and regulates them, has started to push infection control more and more just in recent weeks. And it started a new training program, and it's also been fining nursing homes when they find that they fall short of the requirements for infection control. But what the nursing homes say is that we're in desperate straits. We don't have enough support. You know, this is a very, very serious emergency that's going on, and they don't feel like they're getting the backup that they need to provide the kind of care that they need for their patients in this very, very difficult situation. And there was, in fact, a kind of one of these blue ribbon panels that did a commission that looked into nursing homes and infection control, and they found that it was just not at all adequate what's happening, not just during COVID, but before COVID, in terms of nursing homes. And so this commission came out with a lot of really strong requirements that were quite compelling. And one of the things that they said was just that the people who work in nursing homes get paid very little, and they're not trained enough, and they're not treated like professionals. And yet we put this very serious responsibility in their lap to keep these very stringent infection control practices forefront in their mind all the time, when they're doing very taxing jobs and getting paid very little for them, and getting often very little benefits. So that was one of their main recommendations, that we would professionalize that workforce so that the people who work in nursing homes are treated like professionals and get paid and get benefits that would reflect that and also would be trained. And one of the things they said is that there needs to be on staff in nursing homes people with training in infection control so that they can constantly make sure that the requirements are being met in these patients' rooms so that COVID doesn't spread. Because we're talking about a situation where, nearly 56,000 people have who are residents of nursing homes have died of COVID. And that's according to the federal government's data, which nursing homes weren't required to submit their data until May. So it's widely believed and assumed that that data is an undercount. And that's, again, nearly 56,000 people who were residents of nursing homes who've died of COVID, and 368,000 people who lived in nursing homes who were either confirmed or suspected of having COVID. That's a lot of people, a huge percentage of the people who are in nursing homes exposed to this really deadly disease for people of that age and that healthcare level. So it's a lot of the experts I talked to said that this should be a wake-up call for us to realize that we need to pay attention to infection control at nursing homes so that the patients, the people who live there, have better quality of life, and so that the staff that work there can also have a better quality of life.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Shogren. She is a reporter for Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting, talking about her recent piece titled "Poor Infection Controls Turn Deadlier at Nursing Homes During the Pandemic." You can find that over at revealnews.org or on the podcast Reveal, which I highly recommend, one of my favorites to listen to. So, Elizabeth, I know this is kind of a giant question, but why is this happening at nursing homes? I know you had a chance to speak to a number of experts, but is it a lack of funding from the state if we're talking about ones that are run by the government? Or is it cost-cutting measures at for-profit facilities? Or is it a lack of leadership at the federal level? Talk about that a little bit.
One of the things that was so compelling to me is how widespread this problem is, because, I initially thought, well, there must be some really bad actors out there, and it must be because they're just not following the basic rules. And to some degree, that was the case. There are examples that I found where nursing homes had glaring violations of infection control practices, like we talked about. But there, but in fact, what was clear was that this is that all nursing homes had a challenge with COVID. That it's so infectious, and there are several weaknesses that nursing homes that have that make it more likely that that the infection will come inside. If you think about it, the staff we're all trying to isolate as much as possible, right, in our lives, so that we don't get COVID. Well, the staff members have to go back and forth from the nursing homes to their regular lives with their families and back and forth. And for a long time, there hasn't been enough testing. There hasn't been enough personal protective equipment for these people to make sure that if they're encountering COVID in their regular lives, they don't bring it in. Or if they're getting it in the nursing home, they're not bringing it back to their families and friends and to the whole of society outside the nursing home. So that's one of the very weak links. The problems that we've all heard about time and time again, not having enough tests so that we can quickly find out if people are positive or negative for COVID-19, not having enough masking and other personal protective equipment. Those kinds of shortages are still really an emergency situation at nursing homes. And, we did a data analysis, which helped to show us some of the numbers behind this. And the federal government is collecting this data, but they don't analyze it all the time. They do tell us kind of in a weekly way how many people have died who are residents of nursing homes. But we were able to do the data analysis, and we found that nearly 300,000 workers of nursing home had either confirmed cases or suspected cases of COVID-19 by September 6th, and 868 of them had died. So that's 300,000 workers from nursing homes. That's a lot of people with COVID. So that's part of what we're seeing there.
That number is absolutely mind-blowing. 300,000 workers at long-term care facilities and nursing homes that have experienced COVID. That number is just hard to even wrap my head around. That's just absolutely unbelievable. And I want to go back to something you alluded to earlier, and the fact that, well, you reported how there have been all sorts of nursing homes around the country. I forgot the exact number you had that have experienced violations, but for the most part, in terms of enforcing or making sure that, well, these facilities change, there's really not much in terms of that enforcement level, correct?
Well, there is enforcement. The federal government, in fact, that's why I looked at nursing homes, because the federal government actually plays a role in regulating them through the Health and Human Services Department and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So that they do have a job to do that. And the states play a role too, collaborating with the federal government. And they send in inspectors who go once a year. But one of the things that's glaring about the information about those inspections is that, in fact, as we said before, they found widespread violations of infection control practices. But there were less than 2% of the cases, was there any fine or other kind of enforcement action against the nursing home for these violations? So, I won't say that they're just a slap on the wrist. Like, no nursing home wants to have a reputation of not protecting their patients. I mean, it's bad when they get infection control violations, but the consequences were not enormous in terms of fines or other consequences. So I think that plays a big role here, according to the experts.
And final point I want to bring up with you here, Elizabeth, and this is something you wrote about as well, but nursing homes that primarily have people of color have been especially hit hard by COVID. Is that correct?
Yes, in fact, the data is not great, because while the federal government is requiring nursing homes to say how many people have confirmed or suspected cases of COVID in your nursing home and how many people have died, they do not require that data to come with any demographic information that would say how many of them are people of color. But what the data analysis that some others have done shows that, in fact, the nursing homes that have higher percentages of patients who are either Black patients or Latinx patients, those nursing homes have been hit harder, both with higher death tolls and higher numbers, and disproportionately high numbers. So again, it's important to know that the vast majority of residents of nursing homes in America actually are white. So we don't actually have the numbers, but we do know that the disproportionate impact is on people of color in these nursing homes. And there is a history of lagging in infection control practices in those places, including an issue that is quite concerning right now, which is that studies have shown that people of color in nursing homes are much less likely to get vaccinated for flu and pneumonia, other infections that can be deadly to elderly people. And now we're hoping that there will be a vaccine for COVID-19 coming very soon, or soon at least. And we know that people in nursing homes will need this vaccine to protect them, because we've seen the crisis there. But what I hope is that this past pattern of people of color not getting the vaccines in as much as white residents, that will not be the case this time. And I hope that nursing homes and the industries that benefit from these people, that they are all trying to put that as a top priority.
I'm not sure if you even know the answer to this, but do we have any reasons as to why that's happening, where these residents, people of color, are getting vaccinations at a lower rate than people who are white?
You know, I looked at some scientific studies that delved into that process, and they pointed at a couple of different things. One of the things they point at is that there are some long-lasting issues of distrust among, especially among Black Americans, that the medical industry isn't looking out for their best interest, and so that's one of the reasons that the vaccinations were not done as effectively there. It's one of those things where it hurts everybody, but if you don't trust the medical establishment to really be looking after you and by helping you, then you might be disinclined to have a vaccine. And what the polls are telling us is that lots of people are disinclined to have a COVID-19 vaccine for a variety of reasons. And so I hope, as we're moving forward, I hope that that there are very effective vaccines that are approved and that nursing home residents are able to get them.
We've been speaking with Elizabeth Shogren. She is a reporter for the Center for Investigative Reporting. Her most recent piece is Poor Infection Controls Turned Deadlier at Nursing Homes During the Pandemic. You can find that over at revealnews.org or check out the podcast titled Reveal wherever you get your podcasts. Elizabeth, a very important piece you wrote, and appreciate the time today, and thanks for coming on the show.
I've really enjoyed it. Thank you for asking.